You bow your heads with me in prayer. Dear Father, I thank you for, yes, yet another day to worship you. I thank you for yet another day to have our minds set on you. I thank you for another day to be devoted towards you so that we may find truth and find life and find our way, because you are the way, truth, and the life. So, Father, fill us today with the very truth you want us to walk out with. Help us to walk out in faith more and more through your word and through your spirit and how it communicates to us. And Father, today I pray one more time, Lord, that we wouldn't be so caught up in how great the service was, but how great of a Savior Jesus Christ is. Let our minds and our hearts be fixed on him. Let us become healthier in spirit and in truth. Bless us, I pray. Bless us, whether we're watching online or we're here in person, whether this is our first week, our second week, or heck, or just we've been here for a while. Lord, speak to us in a fresh and beautiful way, in a way only you know how, and that we can understand, so that we may walk devoted or more faithfully for you. Give us hope. Lord, we live in a world that feels hopeless, but what we lack you on this earth, we find it in our good, good Father. So we love you. And we thank you. In Christ's wonderful name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Well, good morning, Christ Church. That was D-E-A-D. Let's try that one more time. Good morning, Christ Church. Much better. It's good to see you guys. For those who may not know, my name is Javon. I happen to be one of the pastors here at the church. I'm excited to talk to you today. But as you guys know, unless you've been living under a rock, this past week was a bit of a tough week when it came weather-wise. We all experienced the power outages. Whether you're in Elyria like I am, or you're here in Cleveland, Parma, Berea, wherever you may be, many of us experienced some power outage. So what does that mean? But I want to talk to you just a couple of pastors, including myself, talked about opening our church a little bit more. Can you guys turn me down? I feel real hot. We talked about opening our church for people to use this for, you know, Wi-Fi purposes or electricity or whatever it may be. So if you're someone or you know someone that they need those resources throughout the week, whether for their job or even just for their leisure, whatever it may be, come up to the church. Come talk to us. We'll make sure one of us is here so that that person or maybe you can be able to utilize it. And if you need any financial support, come see us. We'll help you out however we can. We'll point you in the right direction as well. Amen? Also, guys, today we're starting a brand new sermon series. I am pumped for this brand new sermon series. We're starting a series called The Joy of the Good Life. What we want to do in this sermon series is to reorient our understanding of what happiness and joy means. What happiness and joy means, because we're all on the pursuit of happiness. Anybody remember that movie, The Pursuit of Happiness? I know Will Smith isn't getting a lot of good press lately because everything going on. But let me tell you something, that movie itself, I'm a big crybaby. I pretty much cry at everything. That movie, I was bawling my eyes out. Right, remember the end of the movie after when he finally got the job? He's walking down the street, he's pumping his hands, and he's super excited. But we're all on the pursuit of happiness, if you think about it, right? Deep down, within every individual, within every person, believer or non-believer, we're all hungry. We all have a spiritual hunger, is what maybe you would call it. We all hunger for what I like to call the good life. We all are. No matter who you are in this room today, we are all hungering for the good life, and we try to define good in many areas. For instance, we all hunger for comfort, right? Think about it. We all hunger for comfort. We all want to be comforted. We all hunger for a secure future. Right, I actually just got done reading an article that talked about just how the human mind can never be present in the moment because it's always thinking about tomorrow. And that's all of us, right? Right? What are we doing in that moment? We're pursuing happiness. We're making sure that our future is secure because each and every one of us hunger and long for that, whether it's comfort, security, security of future, peace, purpose, right? Right? We all hunger for purpose. We all want to make our lives count, don't we? We all want to wake up in the morning and feel like, man, that I'm going to add some value to today. Where whoever I'm around, wherever I go, we all hunger for purpose. Heck, we all hunger for truth, right? Right? We all hunger for truth. Doesn't it feel like truth is very absent lately, right? We're told one thing, and then we feel and experience the very opposite, and we're like, well, I thought this was true, and now we're trying to figure out what truly is true. And well, how about this? We all hunger for freedom. We all want to feel a sense of freedom within the depths of our souls. And I believe that a lot of us, yes, we're all on the pursuit of the good life, but a lot of us, we live in this tension. We live in this tension of not experiencing the good life or not being fully satisfied of what our ideals of what we think the good life is. Right? And when we find ourselves this, we find ourselves more and more dissatisfied with life. We find ourselves more dissatisfied with our relationships. We find ourselves battling with depression. We find ourselves battling with anxiety. We find ourselves battling in our relationships and just battling just every single day. And what we want to do in this series is we want to talk about how the hunger for the good life, that's in every human soul, and that's a gift from God. Where we get it wrong is when we direct that very gift in the wrong direction, opposite of God. Does that make sense? We all have the gift of the good life, the gift of the purpose, the gift of happiness, the gift of joy, right? That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. God is not anti-joy. God is not anti-happiness. There are so many people that believe that when you become a Christian, you just sit in your house, Indian style, reading the Psalms and listening to What a Beautiful Name. That's not true, right? God, listen to me, friends. God is for your joy. He is for your joy. He is actually for your happiness. But here's what I also want to say. I want to say this, that the hunger that we experience in every single one of us, no matter how old you are, no matter where you are in your life, the hunger we experience, God alone is the satisfier of what we deeply hunger for. God alone is the satisfier of what we deeply long for, right? And what we want to do in this series is to help you in your walk of faith point that hunger in the direction of God. And that's the reason why we're studying Psalm 119, especially the way Psalm 119 starts off. Now, what's very interesting, Psalm 119, which we're going to be studying for the next couple of weeks, it's 176 verses. And guess what? I'm not doing 176 verses because I ain't got that time and I don't got that many sermons in me, all right? I love you, but not that much. But we are going to be working through a couple of themes of what does joy and happiness really mean, right? How do we understand the good life, right? How do we understand it? Who do we pursue it, and how do we find satisfaction in our pursuit of it? Now, I find it very interesting. Bring up verse 1 for them. Bring up verse 1. Psalm 119, verse 1, starts off a lot like Psalm 1. So we go 118 verses before this. Don't go there. I know it off the top of my head. It starts off the very same way as verse 1 in Psalm 119. It starts off with this one word, blessed. Blessed. Psalm 1, it says, blessed are those who walk not in the counsel of the wicked, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, nor stand in the way of sinners, right? It starts off the very same way as this one. As a matter of fact, go to Matthew 5, the New Testament. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, one of his first words, exactly, Pastor, he says, blessed. He says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This word blessed is a very important word in the Bible. What does blessed mean? Well, a lot of us in our Western mind, when we think of blessed, we think of, well, we have possessions, right? Well, I'm blessed, right? I'm blessed because I have a big house. Or I'm blessed because I got a big family. I'm blessed because of all of this, right? And we seem to try to compare blessings to our possessions and whatnot. But in the Hebrew and actually also in the Greek, what blessed means, it means happiness. So here's how it's meant to be read. If you have the Christian Standard Bible, which I know some of you do, or if you have the New Revised Standard Version, both translations read it like this. How happy are those who keep God's commandments. That's how it's meant to be read. This is what the psalmist, this is what God tells us. God says, here's where your happiness lies in me. Your truest happiness, the source of your joy, is in God and God alone. Again, friends, let me remind you one more time. Being a Christian is not the absence of pleasure and joy. No, God is all about your joy, and he wants to take your happiness and take it from one step to another step, from one level to another level. And what he wants to do is he wants to reorient our understanding of joy and happiness and how to achieve that more and more. Because if you look at the world will tell us that happiness, you have to find it from within. That's what the world would say. Happiness is how you feel, your emotions. And haven't we learned long enough that our emotions and our feelings lie to us? Right? Haven't we learned that our emotions or our feelings lie to us? Or the world will say, we're coming up in the presidential candidacy and coming up pretty soon. You know, they're going to say, this side is going to say, if you vote this way, this is going to make you happy. That's what they'll say. If you vote this way, well, then you'll be really happy. If you believe in these policies, if you believe in this person, what you're looking for, utopia, the mountaintop, what you're looking for, find it here and find it there. We find it in ideologies. All these different movements, all these different activists and socialism and all of that, they promote this. Hey, if you believe in this camp, well, then you'll be satisfied. But what we're finding out is people are walking around hungrier than they ever have been before. The thing that was once promised is unable to deliver. And they're finding that out more and more. Matter of fact, I just got done watching an interview of an Olympic swimmer. And this was his second time. I think he's from the Philippines. It was his second time in the Olympics, and he talked about how his second time going being in the Olympics, how he came home empty-handed again. And he talked about for 4 years, 4 years of sacrificing of time, 4 years of sacrificing of money, and you know Olympics don't pay nobody anything. That's what I heard. No matter if you got the gold, silver, depending on where you're from, they don't pay you anything. So he sacrificed time, money, relationships, all of that just to go to Paris and not come home with anything. He proceeds and he ends the interview by saying, it all feels fleeting. I'm chasing something that I never can achieve. It all feels fleeting. I'm chasing something. And I believe that describes a lot of the human soul. That a lot of us, we're chasing a lot of things, which those things aren't really found anywhere else other than in our relationship with Jesus Christ. A lot of us, we get into relationships thinking that this person is going to give me the life that I'm looking for. When you realize very quickly, they're not going to be able to give you the life that you're looking for. You think to yourself, if I just have children, if I just get married, if I just get this raise, if I just, we're all doing what the Olympic swimmer did. We're all chasing the wind. We're all chasing the wind. And we're coming up empty-handed every single time. But the psalmist tells us that if you want true happiness, true longing satisfaction, it's experienced in our connection and our relationship with God. Why? Because God is the foundation for the good life. Take it down, notes, write that down. God is the foundation for the good life. When we make God, our relationship with him, the object of our joy and happiness, well then, friends, we experience unending delight in him. When we make God the object of our joy, the object of our satisfaction, the object of our happiness, well then, friends, we experience unending delight found in him. So point number one, I want to say this. Point number one, the good life is knowing God. That's the good life, knowing God. Having a connection with the creator of the universe. Having a connection with the creator of the world. Having a connection with the one who knows you, who formed you, who called you, who created you, who knows everything about you, the good and the things you try to hide. He says the good life is in him. It comes by knowing him. Now, how does one come to know God? Well, to be honest with you, only God can make himself known, right? God has to reveal himself. Right? The Bible talks about how you and I, that the way that we're shaped and wired, that we're born at odds with God. But Jesus Christ has to close that gap, and he has to bring us to God to begin with. So here's what I want you to know. I want you to know that your joy, the greatest joy of your life, isn't when people listen to you. The greatest joy of your life isn't when your boss takes your advice. The good life is not when your kids start to fall in line and everybody thinks that you're worthy to be listened. But rather, the good life is in your unity and intimacy with God, right? Now, if the good life is in God, what does that mean? We need to seek him more and more. I remember reading this one quote by this one theologian, and he says, Christians should be the happiest people on the earth. And I thought that was a very interesting quote when he said that. He says that Christians, they should be the happiest people on this earth, not because God is the one who answers all their prayers, or God is the one who makes sure nothing bad happens in their life, but their truest sense of joy and happiness is knowing that they're known. That their truest sense of joy and happiness comes from knowing that they've been forgiven. That the truest sense of joy and happiness comes from knowing that they are accepted from their Father. And Jesus has accomplished all of that on their behalf on the cross. And at the pinnacle, at the core of who they are, it's all because of what Christ has done for them. Friends, if you're a Christian, you have much to be joyful about. Yes, your life may not be where you want it to be, but because of Jesus Christ, you are who you are because of who he has been to you in your life. And that's what the psalmist wants us to understand. Blessed are those who know him. Happy are those who know him. Number two, this next point, I really like this point. I'm going to spend some time on this one. Number two, number one, the good life is knowing God. Number two, the good life is following what God says. Now, let me talk about this for a little bit. Bring up verse one again for them. It says, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Verse 2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies and who seek him with their whole heart. You know, one thing that I'm starting to realize, and parents who have kids that are older, I'm just getting into the game now, but the one thing that I've realized is my kids don't like listening to me. I know. Who would have thought? Who would have thought the guy that wiped your behind when you were screaming bloody murder at 1 a.m., the guy that, you know, woke up out of a dead sleep, you know, say, I was sleeping, dreaming about, you know, heaven and Jesus. You know, he woke me up out of dead sleep. You know, this guy tries to get some advice. This guy tries to tell you, hey, don't eat the rock. And what do? They eat the rock. Right? The guy that tries to tell you, hey, you shouldn't dip your banana. Literally, this happened yesterday. You shouldn't dip your banana in the sand and then eat after. And what do? They take that sucker, they dip it in that sand, and they ate it. And all I heard was, ow, 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 ow. Right? They don't like to listen. It's almost like, hey, when they need something, they'll come to me. Right? Hey, I need you to open juice, juice. Give me some juice, juice, juice. Okay, all right. Hey, I wouldn't climb that way. Shut up. You know, it's just, you know, it's just all bad. They don't like to listen to their father. Nor their mother. They're not great listeners. And I've noticed with the things that I try to help them out with, when they don't listen to me, doesn't go so well for them. Doesn't go so well for them, right? But I love this example that the psalmist gives us. The psalmist says, we find happiness when we listen to God. We walk in joy when we walk the way God calls us to walk, right? And this is a point that a lot of us need to realize, that a lot of us get real busy doing our own thing rather than God's thing. Because we think in our own thing, well, I know what joy looks like. Where God's thing is, I created joy, therefore I know what joy actually looks like. But then on the other side, we're like, no, God, I know what joy looks like. I'm gonna keep doing this. God's like, no. I'm for your joy. This is what joy looks like. See, friends, I believe the reason why the soul is dissatisfied is because we're always at odds of what God is calling us to do in our lives. I believe that a lot of the reasons why you and I grow more and more dissatisfied with life, because Jesus says, I have come to give life and to give life in abundance. But the reasons why we're not experiencing the abundant life is because we're so busy living our own lives. We're so busy thinking, well, I'm going to do it this way. But the psalmist clearly says, happy are those who walk in what God says and God's plans and God's ways, right? Right? The happiest Christians are not those who follow and do their own plans and their own goals, but rather it's those who do what God wants them to do in their lives. Now, I want to teach you something real quick. Notice the psalmist, he connects happiness to obedience. Happiness to obedience. You know the one thing that I realize? You know the saying, happy wife, happy life? It's true. When I just do what she tells me to do, I don't have to hear anything else. No. I realize if I just do it, well, then I don't have to hear about it after. No. All the husbands just say, amen. You're right about that one, right? Right? How many of us, our lives would look totally different if we got in the line of what God says about relationships? How many of us, our lives would look totally different if we learned to walk in God's advice about money? How many of us, our lives would look so much different, our minds would be so much different if we listened to what God says about what to focus on, right? What God says about prayer, right? But what God says about some of these things. And the psalmist connects that our happiness is finding obedience. Now, he uses this word law. Now, what does the law mean? Now, in the Old Testament, if you were an Old Testament Israelite, Old Testament Hebrew, the law would have meant the Torah, right? That's the first five books of the Old Testament, right? The law is the Torah. This is the law God gave Moses and also the ancient Israelites, right? And we know the laws, right? You know the Ten Commandments, right? Thou shalt not murder, steal, commit adultery, all of that. But if you think about it in its most fundamental purpose, the law, what is it meant to do, right? Think about law in our own Western minds, right? The law was meant and laid out for their good. And without the law, there's chaos. Am I right? Without some sort of laws, without some sort of instructions, maybe a better word to use that for us to understand a little bit more than our modernized ways, the law or the instructions are meant for our well-being. For instance, there's an intersection right up here, Ridge and Memphis. There are lights. And what is our responsibilities as citizens of Northeast Ohio? To follow the what? The law. So when it's red, we're meant to stop. When it's green, we're meant to go. When it's yellow, we're meant to keep going. No. Well, you know, depending on what, you know, version, the 2021, whatever. Anyway, right? But it's laid out for us. These laws are laid out for us for our good, for our well-being, so that no one gets hurt, right? If somebody says, you know what, I'm going to treat the red like a green light today, it's not going to go well, am I right? When somebody says, you know what, yellow actually means drive faster, it's not going to go well, right? And in the same way, God's instructions are for our good. See, friends, what the psalmist is trying to say is God wants to increase your life. He wants to increase your well-being. So God doesn't lay down his ways to take away from you because it's actually good for you. So when God talks about forgiveness, there's good when it comes to this reality and this conversation about forgiveness. When God talks about sexual purity and what that looks like, he's not laying this out to take away life from you. God is laying this out to say, this is what's best for you because I love you and I care about you. When God talks about finances or whatever it may be, when God lays down all of his word, he says these things because he loves you. Because he wants what's best for you. He wants you to thrive. When God gave Israel all these laws, even though we don't do those anymore because Jesus is the perfect law fulfiller, and now we live under the New Testament. But then there's still ethics and there's still commands you and I are meant to allow to be the director and the meditation of our own lives, right? I find out that I'm a much different person when I'm listening to God above everything else. I'm a much different person when I'm listening to God above everything else. And that's what the psalmist wants us to connect to. I want to connect you to this very reality right here. You want to know the happiest person to ever live? It's not that hard. I want to tell you about the happiest person to ever live. Most joyful person to ever live. Not that hard. We talk about him every week. Jesus was the happiest person to ever live. To ever live. Jesus was someone who was always in consistency with the reality of his relationship with the Father. And Jesus was able to withstand the harshest of harshest, the most devastating of devastating, and still find joy because of the Father, right? Jesus lived the perfect life. Jesus is the model of true happiness and true joy. That's who it is, right? Even though Jesus was betrayed, Even though Jesus was scorned, even though Christ was ridiculed and mocked, Jesus never lived in the rhythm of the world because he was so busy living in rhythm because of his connection to his Heavenly Father. Jesus was very good at that. Jesus was able to not mock back, ridicule back, be hostile towards anyone because of his direct connection with the Father. And Jesus wants that very reality in our lives. Because how many of us can be honest as we close? A lot of our joy and happiness is taken because of what happens in our lives. All right? And a lot of us place emphasis in these areas of our lives. And we place emphasis in these moments in our lives. And they become the definer of joy and happiness. What so-and-so did to me becomes a definer of your joy. How so-and-so disrespected me and hurt me. How this party failed me. What this happened in my life. And we allow that to be the definer of your joy. But Christianity gives us a much better position and definition of happiness and joy. And it's found in our personal relationship with the Father who cares for you, who loves you, who wants what's best for you, who wants to lead you, who wants to bless you. And that, friends, that very thing becomes the true definition of our very existence when we connect to this beautiful reality. But we must look to Christ and his example for that. So let's pray. Dear Father, would you give us a sense of your presence and your spirit with us today? Dear Father, would you give us a sense of your word and your promises so that we may experience your goodness? So that we can understand the source of happiness isn't found, isn't in, isn't what we do or what we, where we go or whatever it may be, but it's truly found in our connection with you. And help us to be people who are constantly seeking you so that we can find our truest rest in you. Let us be people that we are willing to cut ourselves off from the things that we think give pleasure, and we go to the one who is the true satisfier of our very desires, and that's you and you alone. So would you bless us, I pray. Would you give us the ability to think, to walk, to act as Christ has so laid out for us. And help us to not be people swayed so much by what happens, but let us be people who are living in rhythm of just who you are. Let us not let Monday kill our Tuesday. Let not Wednesday destroy our Thursday. But rather, we look to you every day and say, you and you alone, because of who you are and what you've done for me. That's where I find purpose. You, where I find peace. So would you help us more today? Would you bless us, I pray. It's in your son's perfect name, amen. Mm-hmm.